Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Cups of coffee, 500 cigarettes, 1,000 miles of highway, and I ain't forgot her yet, but I'll keep on moving. I keep moving down the line. There ain't nothing in my mirror, just a cloud of dust and smoke. What do you expect if some old trucker's heart gets broke? Yeah, truckers' hearts get broke. But them big wheels of rubber gonna rubber off of my mind. Well, I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white line.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here back after our Christmas break. We appreciate everybody listening along. Call us up, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. We're just talking about all things trucking and then some, life on the road, life in America. So let us know. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody following along, listening along. You can get links to all of our social media accounts on our website, redneckandeyes.com, where we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. And just follow us along there for details of what's going on with us. So if you guys don't know, we are a small group of truckers that came together to help educate the trucking industry on how to just be better truckers. And we also wanted to create some good materials, educational materials, to direct the four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks. So we got videos on our YouTube channel describing just that. So we appreciate everybody following along, listening along for that. And just trying to make life on the road better for all you truckers out there. So tell me what you think, 515-602-9731. That's our phone number. And before we get going any further, I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at loadtoridetransportation.com. That's a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and they are drop-dead busy. They got lots of trucks. They got lots of trailers. And feel free to give them a call and let them know what's going on with you. This is, like I said, it's a great trucking company out of Denver, Colorado. It's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. So let's get it on the phones here and check them out. Follow us along here. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And let's rock it on. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio, live.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
How?
your kind of time. I have nothing to get, just a man. Now the hair is fine. I'm all down the time. But now I might be mistaken.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome back. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call at 515-602-9731. That's a call-in number. You can just say whatever's on your mind or follow along what we're talking about. We talk about all things trucking and then some, and just life on the road and talking about different things like that. So we want to keep up with today's news and events and things like that going on around there. And, of course, you know, keeping everybody apprised of what's going out there on the road. We had bad winter storms. I hope everybody made it home safe, made your delivery safe. Like I said, that freight ain't that important. Don't worry about it. Be safe. Always think of keeping, you know, we always say keep the shiny side up. That's what you should be focused on, the most important thing. And getting to wherever you got to go safely, even if it takes a little extra time. So everybody slow down out there in the bad weather, and especially you four-wheelers, you guys. You know, just because you might have all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, that don't mean nothing in the snow and ice. So just take care out there and be safe. So what else is going on in the trucking industry? Well, the trucking industry, you know, of course, with the holiday, you know, even the news takes time off unless it's like something big deal. There was a article published back, it was Monday. It was, coming back right from the Christmas break. From freightways.com, it says, it's just kind of a breaking down over the year, the past. It says the largest trucking companies that went bankrupt in 2022 during the freight recession, the largest trucking company's bankruptcy was a postal service carrier. So a lot of these larger companies, they had large amount of trucks and volume. They basically just had contracts with the federal government and the postal service hauling the mail What we'll tell you in the trucking industry is that those are some of the best paying routes because it's government. Government doesn't really, you know, our tax dollars are hard at work in paying a lot of money for very little work or, you know, minimal safety standards. I'll tell you right now, the trucks passing me on the highway a lot, mail trucks, they fly down the highway, boom, gone all the time. And so those are the ones that we always look out for. And you see sometimes they're in rickety trucks. Some of the drivers aren't the best drivers that we see out there. So that's based on my opinion. I don't have any evidence to back it up, but I'll just tell you, I just don't like it very much when I see a lot of these trucks. They say they haul mail. They're pulling trailers that say U.S. mail or whatever. And, you know, I don't know. It's just the government is not getting the most bang for its buck. And I think what they did was is they started consolidating. You know, you have some people in there starting to pinch the pennies a little bit. And a lot of these big companies that just kind of, just riding high on the government dime there, they said, you know what, we're not gonna have you around no more. And then, I mean, they got no use. They got no other way. That's been their cash cow, and they got no other way to get in business. So guess what? They go under. And especially when people aren't using the mail as much, you know, and it's a government-funded entity, so you got to think about it that it's like subsidized. So when people stop using it, it drastically reduces money. And then when the government decides that it's not going to spend that much money because less people are using it, because more people are using FedEx, more people are using, UPS for their actual packages, and nobody sends out letters anymore. You know, email is just as good. Text message, you know. I mean, sometimes you get a text message and it feels like they're writing a letter. You know, it's just a text message. Or you got Messenger on Facebook, or you got, you know, you can send a personal message, a private message, to any app. On any app, you can do it on Snapchat, on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, whatever you got, you can send private messages between somebody. So if you keep in contact with somebody on there, then that's an easy way to reach out to them. You know, the funny thing is that if I don't have somebody's phone number and I need to get a hold of them, I don't even have to have their phone number to call them. I can call them on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever. So, you know, it's like, you know, phone numbers aren't even needed anymore. You know, that might even be going away too. As long as we've got a service like, what is it called? I don't know. What do we call it now? So we used to call it cell phone service or, You know, it's just your wireless service, which is the service that you get out there with no Wi-Fi, nothing, right? Well, you don't even need a phone number these days. As long as you got wireless service, you can communicate through any app. You know, voicemail or voice calls, face-to-face, FaceTime, whatever, you could do that. It's all connected. So, you know, phone numbers might be going away. You never know. When you fill out a job application, you'll have to put down your Snapchat address or your Instagram. But nobody's using mail. So mail took a dive, and it says it's been a rough year for the trucking industry following the red-hot market conditions of the late 2020 and 2021. Since the beginning of the year, spot rates have declined by 27.6%, according to Freightways National Truckload Index. On the contract market, which comprises a larger chunk of the trucking industry, and the rate to move a truck declined by 6% over the same period. The cost to run a trucking company, however, has sharply increased despite this slump in rates. The retail cost of diesel has had the most shocking uptick, 36% higher from the beginning of this year. But compared to the trucking bloodbath of 2019, the industry hasn't seen a wave of large firms declaring bankruptcy. Trucking companies instead seem keen on expanding hiring activity, according to the federal data that tracks pre-employment queries for commercial drivers, has actually increased. Federal employment data reflects that trucking payrolls have increased by around 55,600 drivers, or a 3.6% increase from January to November. And I think it is a lot of consolidating. You got a lot of bigger carriers expanding because they're, you know, we didn't see trucking companies, you know, over this past 6 months here. You know, we were covering the news. We didn't have a lot of trucking companies go bankrupt. What we had was a lot of trucking companies get bought by other trucking companies. You know, so that right there is the big thing, that you see a lot of hiring going on, because I don't know, maybe that is part of it, that because I know for a fact that when I was working for Swift and they wanted to transition over all the drivers, they still had to have all the paperwork done, you know, when you switch the drivers over. So maybe that's the uptick. Maybe it's not anything big deal. You know, it's just changing the driver over to the carrier that got bought out, that bought out the other carrier. It says resilience in the trucking industry could be a result of many trucking companies being flushed with cash after the recent bull run. Here are some of the small trucking companies that went bankrupt the past year. It says Freon Logistics had 10 drivers. Navajo Trucking Group had 15 drivers. JCB Trucking Enterprises had 16 drivers. It goes on and on here. It says Elite Transportation had 25 drivers. Rooney Trucking had 37 drivers. It says LW Miller has 87 drivers. And that's the small ones. And it says now the big ones, and it starts with like 115 drivers. So we're going to click on down here and see what we got. The biggest one really that went bankrupt is that Matheson Postal Services had 383 drivers. So several carriers that service the U.S. postal industry filed for bankruptcy this year. By far the largest was California-based Matheson, which filed for Chapter 11 on May 5th. Matheson, established in 1962, is still operating and said in its May filings that it planned to reorganize. The Postal Service has modernized aspects of its long-haul freight operations in order to slash spending. Dynamic route optimization is one key program, allowing the Postal Service to pay carriers per mile rather than, though, a set contract payment. Yeah, see, I mean, get with the times there, Postal Service. That's been going on for the last 30 years, so it ain't no big deal. You know, that it's not shocking news that if you switched over to that, you could save money, because it's actually paying by the mile instead of just paying a contract, you know, a lot of money to just haul freight, and then they up it on you, you know. So it's a boon to the Postal Service, which has long struggled to manage cost, but it's challenging for longtime service providers that must adapt to new technology and route plans. One trucking contractor told the Washington Post last year that the Postal Service's new software has cost $110 million and sparked hundreds of layoffs. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I just think they were just high on the hog. You know, that's what I think. I just, you know, when the company, I remember Walmart, when Walmart first started, they were paying individual owner operators, and they weren't paying owner operators what they thought. They just said, hey, you run the miles and just bill us for the miles you run. And they weren't even like going point A to point B. I mean, these guys, they were driving way out of route, you know, and upcharging them. And Walmart never questioned it. They said, just pay them whatever they say. They'll fill out the sheets, send it in, and Walmart would just cut them a check for whatever it was. And these guys were just making tons and tons of money. And Walmart's like, you know, we got to cut costs here. What do we need to do? And really, if you hire somebody that works in the trucking industry, if you're like a carrier like Walmart or like a big company like Walmart, and you could say, let's haul our own freight. And they say, okay, but we'll still keep these guys around. These guys are great. We love them. You know, Sam Walton was a big supporter of the trucking industry, supported the truckers. So they're all, let's keep them going, but let's have our own trucks. And that way we can do some more local stuff with our own trucks and, you know, and then all that. So as they started doing it, they're like, oh, wait a minute. Why are you guys charging us so much? It ain't that many miles. We're running it ourselves this miles, but you're charging us more miles. And then boom, everything changed. And now you barely have any kind of individual owner operator hauling for Walmart anymore. Of course, Walmart has expanded to be one of the largest carriers of its own freight in the world. So, you know, that's just how it works. When you're milking a company like that for all they're worth over and over again, years and years like that, eventually they're going to figure it out. Somebody's going to come in and tell them. That's the free market. That's what that is. Just like remember years ago there was a book came out that was the fair tax. Everybody said, you know, we need a fair tax, which is just a sales tax, national sales tax, no income tax, you know, no property tax, nothing, just a national sales tax. And people that disagree with it said, oh, no. What they'll do is they'll just milk it. They won't lower prices because they'll no longer have to pay any kind of tax, but then they'll start charging you tax and they'll just up the charge. And the argument was is that all it takes is one company to say, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're going to lower the prices and lower. And then it's a race to the bottom. The trucking industry basically is a race to the bottom. I mean, if anybody's out there telling you that the free market doesn't work, the free market works because the trucking industry is a prime example that is a race to the bottom. Somebody will always do it for cheaper. And it's amazing. Somehow we see it every day. Truck drivers will tell you, I don't know how some of these drivers haul that freight for that amount of money. There's no way. And that's what we see. That's the truth right there. So that's what happens when you have the free market where people are allowed to do what they need to do. Somebody will always do it for cheaper. The reason why, y'all remember, people that are truck drivers a long time, like, I mean, I just started in like 1997, and I remember seeing it then. And I remember, you know, as a teenager, I remember when gas prices were cheap, diesel was always cheaper. Diesel was always cheaper. Even when gas was 87 cents, diesel was 69 cents. I mean, it was cheap, okay? And even in 1997, when diesel finally went up to $1, $1.10 a gallon, or when unleaded and regular gasoline went up to $1.10, $1.20 a gallon, and they had to go out and change all the signs. Well, they did that afterwards, but there used not to be a dollar on the signs. It was always just pennies. You know, they had a point, a decimal, and then the price. And there never was a one or a two in front of the decimal. So when everything started becoming more of a dollar, you know, like that, then they had to change it. And they said, you know what we need to do? We need to go out there and put a one. Just paint a one on that left side of the decimal. And it'll always be one. It'd be 101, $1, you know, whatever. So the one was like permanent. It never went down to 99 cents. And then eventually the prices started going back down a little bit, and they eventually just turned that the one into an actual number where they can put a zero instead of a one or a two. But that at that time frame, diesel was always cheaper. It was never more expensive than gasoline. And the reason that was because Flying J, and everybody knows, Flying J had their own refinery. Flying J had their own diesel. So they chose to sell their diesel at a cheaper price. And it forced every single other diesel sales lower. Because if they were selling it cheaper at, to the public at their truck stops, some of those smaller truck stops, the mom and pops that didn't have any kind of contract with any kind of like service to buy gasoline or diesel, well, they were buying it from Flying J at a wholesale cost and selling it for the same price Flying J was. So they were competing with Flying J. Well, it forced TA, it forced Petro, it forced, you know, back then Union 76, Rip Griffins, all of them to sell at that cheaper rate because it was a race to the bottom because you had to sell it. And it forced it, it forced everybody to sell it. Well, then when Flying J sold out and stopped becoming its own entity, then that's when, you know, the profit mongers over at Pilot and TA and all those, even Loves, said, you know what, we could charge whatever we want now. Ain't nobody going to stop us. And, I mean, you know, they join all these organizations, which should be against the law, that all of these, like the National Association of Truck Stop Owners, I don't know if Loves or TA are a member of it, but, you know, they're definitely, they definitely talk to each other as part of the largest, you know, alliance of truck stops, and the mom and pops are just going away. And even the smaller ones, they're not necessarily, they might be owned by somebody else, but they get their diesel from like Exxon or, you know, someplace like that. So, so they're all forced to just, you know, be in cahoots and they're all selling it, you know. Every now and then you'll get somebody selling it cheaper, but it's not a very good truck stop. I remember in Gallup, New Mexico, it's right there. There's a TA, and then there, I don't know if there's a Pilot there, but I know there's a Loves. The Loves was packed, always packed. Across the street was the Texaco. Texaco's cash price on the sign was always like 20 cents cheaper than all the others. TA was expensive. Flying J was a little bit cheaper than TA, but still expensive. And then 20 cents a gallon cheaper, even sometimes 30 cents a gallon cheaper on the sign was the Texaco. So if you were paying the cash price, which was the price on the sign, then naturally you need to go over to Texaco. Now, it wasn't the best truck stop. It was privately owned. Texaco, you know, the fuel was still good. It's just that you weren't getting the amenities. You weren't able, you know, if you wanted something to eat, then you would have to still go over to Loves or somewhere. But the Loves was still always packed because we all know this. When you use comm data or EFT or whatever, you're getting a discount price. So those guys, when they were getting fuel, you know, a lot of these big companies especially, when they were getting fuel at the Loves or they could fuel at TA, they weren't paying the price at the pump. They were paying a cheaper price. Truck drivers, if they were company drivers, they were told that's where you got to fuel. You can't fuel at Texaco. You got to fuel over there because that's we're getting the diesel cheaper. When you're an owner-operator, somehow you – or more than likely you've got some kind of card you're using, and that gave you the cheaper price. The, whatever card you were using had told you you're getting a price. Some, you all you got was you had to pay cash, or you had to pay whatever card – even the card you used, you had to have – you only got the cash price. You didn't get a discount. All those guys went over to Texaco. You know, so – and that kind of went away now. Because nobody can sell it cheap anymore because everybody, it's all controlled by the price because everybody's kind of in cahoots with each other. And when you're in cahoots, but all it takes is one. So all we need is one entity to actually say, you know what? I can sell it cheaper. I'm going to sell it cheaper. That's all we need. We need somebody out there, you know, I mean, we see it out there with the trucking industry. Truck drivers out there running freight. I could do it cheaper. I'll do it cheaper. And we have no idea why or how they're doing it. They're not making any money. We know they're not. So selling the fuel, selling diesel fuel, you know, making money. That's what they do. So well, anyway, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. We got a couple of other issues going on here. There was a story out of Detroit. Yeah, Fox News actually released a story. It's a tow truck driver had a concealed carry permit, and somebody was trying to rob him, and, of course, he shot and killed the guy. So the Detroit Police Department said alleged armed robber was targeted. the tow truck driver without realizing he had a concealed pistol. And the robber did not probably live to tell the tale. So we'll dive into that a little bit. Tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. Give us a call and let us know. One of the sponsors I'd like to thank. Let me see here. There you go. So, yeah, one of the sponsors I'd like to thank, and that is Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com. That's an app you can download on the App Store, and you can track freight, book freight. You can even check in to see if you have, plan your route where, like, maintenance, fuel stops, all that stuff like that. So check us out and check that out, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, and we thank Trucker Tools for all the support. And like I said, check them out, redneckandeyes.com. You can find links to all of the websites on our sponsors and all of our social media accounts like YouTube. Please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. So check us out in a second here, and we'll talk about more stuff about trucking. So it's all things trucking and then some. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being a supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down the eastern seaboard. I've got my diesel wound up and she's running like never before. There's a speed zone ahead, but all right, I don't see a cop inside. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got 10 Ford gears and a Georgie overdrive. I'm passing little white lines and my eyes are roving wide. Just past a Jimmy and a white, I've been passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. Well, it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some other guy. I could find one to hold me tight, but I can never make believe it's right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. And to be part of the conversation, just hit 1. This is All Things Trucking and then some. We appreciate everybody doing a great job out there, delivering the goods out there. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. Looking forward to a great new year. And weather's looking pretty good. Things look like it's warming up. I was up in Central Texas on Sunday and Monday, and it was pretty nice. It was in the 50s, and the sun was shining. Man, it was bright. And today, here, down here, it got into the, I think it was the 60s. It's supposed to be in the high 70s tomorrow. So it's down here in Corpus Christi. The sun is shining bright. So hope everything's going good where you're at. Like I said, please stay safe out there and on the road and take it easy. Like I said, the freight's not that important. Keep the shiny side up. So that's what we're trying to do. So, talking about news going on in the world, we here at Redneck and Eyes are big time Second Amendment advocates, and we believe that the truck drivers, every truck driver out there, has the right to defend themselves, and we support anybody's right to carry, conceal carry, whatever you need to do. So, on the top of the search, Fox News, just because you pull up like trucking news. Fox News has a report that says a Detroit tow truck driver with concealed carry license fends off robber, shoots and kills man. Detroit tow truck driver shot and killed an armed robber on Monday. And looks like we've got a little report here, and I'll see if I can get it queued up. Might have to mute it and get the – come on now, see what we got. There might be an ad that pops up, so we got to – yeah, there we go. We'll have that muted, and as soon as everything comes back on, we'll just get it fired up. I love it because it counts down, too, so I can hit unmute as soon as it gets to zero. And here we go. Cork it, like unscrew it, like a flashlight battery. Just increase sales of the Buttmaster right there. So here's a picture of the tow truck driver. It says an armed robber targeted a tow truck driver, apparently unaware that the tow truck driver had a concealed carry permit and was ready to fight back. The tow truck driver shot and killed the suspect who tried to rob him on Detroit's east side on Monday. You know, I'm already here. That's good for the truck driver that he has to protect him, because he has to protect himself, because come on, you know, crime rates are bad, right? In fact, it says here, the fatal altercation occurred in the area of 7 Mile and Kelly around 9:35 a.m. on Monday. I've been in that area. Yeah, that's about right. The truck driver was meeting with the suspect to buy a junk car when he was ambushed. Detroit police told Fox News Digital that they responded to an armed robbery and found one person shot. Investigators say the person was taken to the hospital where he later died. He allegedly was robbing the tow truck driver who shot him. Hey, you know what? I mean, so apparently the tow truck driver told the police that he was there to buy a car from the guy, and then they ambushed him. Maybe the tow truck driver I don't know. I'll tell you this. This is probably not a scenario that I would say, you know, hey, good for gun rights and all that. I mean, maybe they were all up to no good, you know. But you never know. I mean, tow truck drivers got to make a living somehow, so it's not probably uncommon for them to go out there and buy cars in the middle of the night. Or, well, it's what? What? No, no, no. What, no, no. 9:35 a.m. So yeah, I mean, they're probably legit, you know. But never know. It says Wayne County prosecutor will review the investigation, but there was no indication that the tow truck driver would face charges because the incident appeared to be self-defense. That's what it appears to be. Then that's probably what it is. And even though they, you know, I mean, all you got to do is get rid of whatever bad thing you were doing. Ain't no clue. Ain't nothing going on. You know, I mean, all you got to do is review to make sure that they didn't know each other from before. Maybe they did. So, but again, 9:35 in the morning, tow truck driver gets a call saying, hey, come buy this car. He probably already did his research and they made a deal or whatever. And he's supposed to show up and pick the car up and pay for it. And then the guy says, nope, give me all your money. Or maybe he told him, give me the money and I'm keeping the car, you know? And of course, some people think that because they got a gun, nobody else is going to have a gun. And, you know, one of those things is that you always get taught, if you have a gun, then you need to always assume that the other guy's got a gun too. So you got to watch out for that. Now, in response to all of this, I wanted to see what this deal was. Now, I was watching Fox News earlier, and on like Special Report, which is more of a political thing, they said that there was a study that got released that said that the states with the weaker gun laws have higher rates of firearm-related homicides and suicides, the study finds. It was on CNN that I found this news report. And let's just see what they have to say. That's an ad, so we'll wait for that to go through. There we go. It's counting down. But what I'd like to say is that if more people, we know that if you live in a state that has low laws, here it is. So it's thinking. I'm not sure why. Maybe I lost my internet. Crap they were spewing out there. So I'm not going to argue. Yeah. If a state and they say Mississippi is the one. Mississippi, it has the lowest gun laws and has the most gun-related deaths. Okay? So I'm not going to argue that. What I will ask is what we know for sure, okay? If a jealous wife or a jealous husband comes home and shoots their spouse, that's a homicide. If somebody breaks into your home and threatens your life and you shoot them, that's a homicide. Okay? Doesn't go down any different. There's nothing different about it. Okay? If somebody shoots at you and you shoot them back in self-defense, that's a homicide. Right? If somebody walks up behind you and shoots you for no reason, that's a homicide. So it's all the same. There's no different. Okay? As long as we agree on that, there's nothing different about that. So, of course, if you have a state that has lower gun laws, which means that most people in the state carry, most people in the state have guns. You know, we have, what's it called? I guess. Where, there's constitutional carry, no license required and all that. See, and what the study said, they gave a score. So Mississippi got the lowest score because they had constitutional carry. They don't require a background check in the state. It's a federal background check. That's all it's required. That kind of stuff. There's no limitations. You know, no, I don't even know. Texas has a good law. There's a lot of laws out there where it says if you don't lock up your firearm, child gets it, then whoever it's one of those that you got to keep it away from a child. You got to lock it up. So if somebody if you keep your firearm in your car locked, then you're good. Okay? But if you keep it in your pickup truck and the window won't roll up, that's illegal. You have to keep it secure. Okay, so that's one of the things that the laws do now. I don't know if Mississippi has a law like that. Well, let's just say this. What I think my correlation to that is that if you're a criminal and you're a criminal in Mississippi, chances are you're going to get killed doing a criminal act somehow. Somebody's going to shoot you in Mississippi. Now, you go to California, be a criminal in California, you're not going to get shot. You know, most big cities these days, they don't arrest people for breaking into cars or breaking into homes. You know, they just do an investigation, and if they find out, they arrest you, and then, you know, it's like, well, how much money what did you take and all that. And, I mean, it's kind of like it's not a big deal anymore. Nobody cares. So really, the only thing you've got to prevent from your stuff being taken is to protect it yourself. You know, lock doors, of course, you know, a lot of things. You know, these would be by chance criminals that are going to go steal something. They're going to take they're criminals of opportunity. If you leave your car unlocked or if you leave your door unlocked or you leave something sitting out in the open, somebody's going to walk off with it. They break into your house, you know, chances are they're not going to do that unless they're professionals and they're armed in some form of fashion. And so, especially in the states where everybody's armed, I mean, that's the thing, is that crime, theft, assault, all those things, they're considerably low in all of those states that have lax gun laws. So, yeah, you know, the gun-related deaths, there's no – I mean, they don't indicate what did those deaths – how did they occur? Was it because somebody was playing with a gun and they accidentally fired it? Or was it somebody, you know, having a gun and saying, you know what, I can own this gun and I have a right to do whatever I want with it and I'm going to shoot whoever I want? Or was it, I got a gun, I protect my family, somebody break into my house, I'm going to kill them? You know, that's, to me, that's probably the bigger case is the latter, is that people are going to defend their homes, they're going to defend their property. And in lax, the states with lower gun restrictions have more people willing to protect their property with firearms. They protect their personal property, they protect their life with a firearm. So you come at them trying to assault them or mug them or steal something from them, you're going to get shot. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I have no doubt that that's the case. You know, I'm like, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with that study. You know, and they say, oh, it saves lives. Well, whose lives are you trying to save? You're trying to save criminals' lives or innocent people's lives? Now we can have an argument about, you know, innocent people being protected. And that's what, the gun advocates, people that support the right to carry and the right to defend themselves, they say, yeah, you got soft targets, you know, like shopping malls and schools, you know, yet you can't go to the courthouse. You can't take nail clippers into a courthouse. You know, I mean, there's never been any kind of serious mass shootings inside of a courthouse in the last 50 years because it's like Fort Knox getting into a courthouse. But again, you know, we don't treat schools like courthouses, you know, that kind of thing. Some states do, but a lot of states don't. You know, we don't treat shopping malls or Walmarts, you know, like courthouses. And, of course, the other thing, too, is that remember the CDC did a study, and what they said was is that I forgot how the thing went, but majority of gun owners, like there was a high amount of – they said over 6 million people said that they had used their firearm to deter a crime or deter anything from happening to them or their property. So that's what nobody will tell you, you know, just like what Craig Ferguson, one of the late night comedians, always said. He loved Texas. He said an armed society is a polite society. And that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. If you're walking around with a firearm, most of the guys that conceal carry, they're the nicest guys you ever want to meet. They're really nice because you know why? Because they automatically assume everybody else is armed because they're armed. I mean, that's what you just assume, you know, and it's like. And most people that abide by the law, like I said, they're all real nice. You know, and it's one of those things where everybody's fine. Just you do you, I'll do me. You know, long as you're not trying to harm me, you ain't got nothing to worry about it. And that's basically what it is. So, I laugh at those news commentators, though. He said, so let's dive into that. I mean, truck drivers, come on, let us know. What do you think? Most of the problem with these... Like Chicago always says, oh, you know, people are buying guns in Indiana and bringing them over, you know, or people that live in Indiana or live in Illinois, they own guns in Illinois. They have the guns are really no, there's so many guns in Chicago. How are the guns getting here? Somebody's going across state lines and buying them. Okay, let me tell you this. Okay, federal law. If you do not live in the state, you cannot buy a firearm in that state. Your ID must be of that state. That's all there is to it. The guy at the counter cannot sell you a firearm if your ID is not of the same state. That's the law. So you can't go into, like, if you're a truck driver, you know, tell me what you think. If you're a truck driver out there and you decide I need a firearm, okay, I live in Georgia. I'm in Oklahoma right now. I need a firearm. I don't feel safe. I need a firearm. Walk into a gun shop in Oklahoma and try to buy a firearm. Ain't going to happen. They're not going to do it. Okay? They're not going to sell it to you. And so that's one thing. Second thing is that if you buy a firearm and then you sell that firearm knowing if you know that you're selling that firearm to a felon, somebody that does not have a legal right to own that firearm, or if you know that that firearm is going to be used in a crime, you could be held accountable. Okay, so it's one of those things where, you know, I don't know. I have no idea what you're going to use it for. Well, if you know the guy, which a lot of times if they're buying guns, if let's say this guy can buy a gun, he lives in Indiana, he buys a bunch of guns. He goes over to Chicago, opens the trunk of the car and sells guns. Okay, come on. You got to know, right? You got to know what they're using them for, because you're selling them to them without a background check, you know? I mean, most people will tell you, most law-abiding citizens out there, I'm not saying all, I'm just saying most. If I owned a gun right now, I said, I got guns right now. Okay, if I was going to sell those guns to an individual, I would sell it through a store that would force that guy to get a background check. Whoever was going to buy my firearm, I would want them to get a background check, because it covers my butt. Okay, don't ever think your butt don't need to be covered. Because it does. And that's just proof of that. So yeah, that going across state lines crap, that's just bull. It's just stupid. Okay. If it's being done, it's being done illegally. So you're not going to stop it. Okay. And that's the thing, is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's from Indiana or Florida or Texas or Montana. If you know, I mean, all you need is to buy, you know, one person can buy two guns in the course of 2 weeks and it not be a big deal. Okay, so if you can make $100, $200, maybe even $500 a pop by buying a firearm in one state, traveling to Chicago and selling that firearm, you know, or selling it to a person that's going to accumulate, like there could be just one guy, he's a kingpin, right? He's this guy that lives in Indianapolis, somewhere like that or whatever. And he's got maybe just, the word gets out, hey, if you've got money to buy a gun and you're able to buy a gun, go buy a gun, bring it to me. And I'll give you, you know, I'll give you a 10% profit or whatever, and you'll make money. So you bring it to me and I'll buy it. And when he accumulates a bunch of guns, he puts them in a truck and he hauls them. You know, all that's illegal. So don't, you know, this whole thing, just it's illegal. So you're never going to stop it, no matter what. The only thing you can do is, if you want to, is you want to say, let's outlaw all guns. Well, then what? They're just going to truck them in from Mexico. Hello, Fast and Furious, right? That's what they were doing. So they're going to get guns. There's no way you can stop that. Okay, if you want to deprive law-abiding citizens from doing firearms, you're doing a pretty damn good job at that. But you'll never stop criminals from having guns. You know, gun laws, criminals don't obey gun laws, right? Is that the motto? Other than that, I mean, that's all I got to say about that, in the words of Forrest Gump. So we're going to do the rest of this week. We got, what do we got? We got Women Over Neck and Eyes on tomorrow. It's Wednesday. And then I'll be back on Thursday and Friday. And then we're going to be off until next Tuesday again. So we're going to have, everybody's going to take the holiday. We've got New Year's Eve is Saturday. New Year's Day is Sunday. And then everybody's going to be celebrating New Year's with time off with their family on Monday. So we'll be back after this week. We'll be back on Tuesday. But Women Over Neck and Eyes will be back here tomorrow. And then we'll be going nonstop after that. And we're getting ready to do it. Let's do it all. So taking your calls, 515-602-9731. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about all that. And we'll be talking about trucking news and then some. And just life on the road and just how things are going. We got a great YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody signing up for the YouTube channel and watching the videos. We've been real successful in doing that and just keep on keeping on. And hopefully we'll be able to see everybody. I know for a fact that I want to try to get to the Texas Truck Show in Houston again. That was a lot of fun, hanging out with all those guys that go to that show. And there's a lot of good conversations we're having on that. So if we can get to some of the smaller truck shows, that's the thing to do. To me, with Redneck and I, we tried to be involved in the bigger truck shows, and you just can't do it because they want everything for nothing. And they want to control how we do things. and they want to control how truck drivers do things. I mean, come on now. We're having a truck show in downtown Dallas. Okay, one of the worst places for a truck driver to hang out is in downtown Dallas. No parking, no amenities, nothing. You know, so we wanted to come in there and do our own thing, and they wouldn't let us. So, you know, and then in Louisville, Kentucky, everything was working out great. Everything was great. Truck drivers were happy. Things were going just fine, and they weren't making no money off us, so they wouldn't going to allow it. So we're just done with it. We're just done with it. And in the words of Daisy, if Kentucky don't want me, then I don't want them. So, boom, there you go. Like I said, we're going to get it on here. I'm going to cut loose and get to work, and I hope everybody had a great Christmas, and we'll get back to it. Let's see. Let me fire this up. There we go. So, like I said, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'd appreciate everybody doing out there. One of the great sponsors I'd like to mention is DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Those are the guys that get all your diesel particulate filter cleaned or serviced or even replaced. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010, and that's DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. 515-602-9731. That's the phone number. Give us a holler. You guys stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.